Alice Thompson is the director of Heart Choices, and she's going to come and share what God is doing in her heart and the lives of many people here in North Central Kansas.
As you said, my name is Alice Thompson, and I began with Heart Choices in their beginning years. In August of 2002, Heart Choices opened in Beloit as Heartbeat Pregnancy Center at the time, with the mission that is pretty much the same as what it is today. Only one thing has been added, but the mission is to empower individuals in the greater North Central Kansas area to make healthy life choices related to their sexuality, childbearing, and we have added in there now parenting, consistent with the sanctity of human life. The mission of Heart Choices is to value life at all ages, all stages, from conception to the last breath. But we deal mostly in our services with those who may be encountering challenges or decisions that might be involved, say, with a pregnancy that was unplanned, or with choices that they feel that they are forced to make. We want to make sure that they have every opportunity, all the education, all of the support, all of the information, and in order to make a positive choice, not only for themselves, but for their baby. When we began in 2002, I was very, very green on what those services were going to be and how that was going to take place. But God had very specifically called me into this ministry, and it was a learn-as-you-grow type thing, and I really did grow as I learned as well. And it was not long until I realized that this was not going to be a cut and dried, every client looked the same type thing. There was nothing in it that was ever the same with each individual client. They all had their own differences, but also their own personalities and their own challenges, individual challenges. And so it was not long after I started that I began to realize, first of all, just how blessed I was to be able to share with each of them on their individual levels. But one day the Lord really brought to me the correlation between what we were doing and the story that is told in John 4 about the woman at the well, or you might know that story as the Samaritan woman. And I thought about the similarities that came about with that. And of course, that story is found in John 4, verses 1 through 26. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the verses all completely. But these are some things that always then been close to my heart about the Samaritan woman. And as you know, of course, she went to the well to gather water, and who would she see there but unexpectedly but Jesus. And she really did not know it was him, and he didn't make a big deal about the fact it was him at first. In fact, he asked her for water. But as they began to talk, not just about the physical need, but about the other needs that she had. And I know that there are three things that woman brought to the well with her that day. First of all, she brought a physical need. She needed water. That's what brought her there. Second of all, she brought a past. She had a history. It wasn't a pretty one. But Jesus knew that, and he talked to her anyway. He did not judge her or leave her or turn away from her. And thirdly, she brought an empty vessel. She brought an empty vessel to be filled with her physical need, with her water. But also, she brought an empty heart that needed to be filled. Now, as Jesus talked with her, and he began to reveal to her all that he knew about her, which was everything, and yet did not judge her, but met with her and began to talk to her about her spiritual need and about the living water that would fill her and she would never thirst again. It was then that she began to realize what true love really meant, and what true relationship meant, and what it felt like to be truly accepted for who she was and not rejected for what she had done. Well, it is true that our clients come to us with physical needs. They may need diapers. They may need formula. They may need someone to talk to them and help them make that decision. Sometimes, honestly, they come to us seeking information about abortion. And that way, we are able to intervene with them and to show them other positive options. But they have a physical need that needs to be met. They have emotional needs, emotional regret, past choices that are causing them to have consequences and are causing them to have regret, depression, maybe disappointment, fear, or hurt from past relationships. And they need a friend. And they definitely have spiritual needs. They have that empty vessel, which is their heart, that needs to be filled with something that's not of this world, but needs to be filled with Jesus. They're at the end of their rope. They come in with empty hands and say, I need something. They think they need diapers, or they think they need someone to help them get be referred for an abortion, or they think they need this. But what they really need is Jesus. Well, now, of course, if there had not been a well, an actual place for that woman to come, then it would have been maybe in her eyes a little more of a chance meeting. And maybe it was a chance meeting that day, but I choose to think it was a divine appointment. So we know that there are the people that we have who are able to meet with these young women and with the men, and we see many men through Heart Choices. We know that they could meet on the street, they could meet at the coffee shop, and sometimes that happens. But they need to know where they can go to seek that help, just like you knew to come to this building for worship this morning. And so in 2002, we opened a center in Beloit, and it was not long after that that I began getting calls from the Concordia, actually from the health department, from people who were working with pregnant women over here and young girls. And they were saying, we have this gal that needs to be, that wants to talk to somebody. So I would drive over and we would meet sometimes at the health department, sometimes other places, and we would begin to visit with them, and we saw some great opportunities and things happening. We saw some changes happening in those lives. And it became evident then that we really needed to have something a little more substantial. We needed a well. And we were very grateful. We were so glad that the health department then offered us some area within their basement after they moved into their building on West 11th Street. And now we are renting a full hallway there and able to say, we are here Tuesdays and Thursdays from this time, from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. We are here for you to come and to meet with someone, to have your physical needs met, and also emotional and spiritual. We have that, there's so many different areas that these young women and men are working in. And so we also have Donnie Sunderhill, who is our client advocate, who is able to work with these young mothers and with the men, not only in the prenatal and helping them through the pregnancy education and early childhood and newborn care, but even afterwards, because we know that sometimes challenges happen even later, after the children are in the toddler or early school age years. And Donnie's is actually very educated and provides excellent education for these. But all of this can be done by looking at every need, of course, their physical need, their emotional need, and their spiritual need. And she's able to meet with them and to give them then information, but also to share Jesus with them. We have a testimony from a young lady who is currently being seen, and just a couple of weeks ago, she made this statement, and she said that she had been referred to Heart Choices by one of our other social service agencies here in town, and her two daughters had been removed earlier when they were younger from her because she was making bad choices. She had a past. She was making choices with drugs and that type of thing. When she came back and then she was referred to this area, she was referred to Heart Choices. She said, even though it was suggested that I come to Heart Choices for parenting, I found so much more than just parenting classes. My advocate not only supported me by providing the educational requirement I needed, but also was willing to talk to me when I needed someone the most. She prayed with me and continues to do so on numerous occasions, and I knew that she was doing so between visits. In one instance recently, she said, I know the Heart Choices staff was praying for me when an indescribable peace came over me in one of the hardest situations I encountered recently. My advocate stated that she would be praying for me, and I realized this must be the reason why God's peace watched over me in my difficult circumstances. That is what can happen when you are there to meet not only the physical need, like we are able to give in the material aid, the diapers, the wipes, the formula, the clothing, and this is just a portion that since then the boutique has actually been expanded quite a bit, but able to give those to them as they participate in their classes each week or every other week, whatever works best for them. We had a client come in actually a few years ago, and this was a little bit more of a unique situation. We, like I say, they're all different. She was a little farther along than most of our clients are when they come in. But Stevie was a client that we can see how the presence, the fact that people were partnering with us, the fact that people were making it possible for Heart Choices to be there, made such a difference in her life, not just for Stevie, but for her little girl. I'd like for you to just take a few moments and watch Stevie's story.
When I found out I was pregnant, I had just started college and was busy living in the dorms. I went to Heart Choices, the free help clinic for moms, and they had me take a test, which came out positive. Then I went into the next room and I heard it. That sweet, alien-like heartbeat, and that's where it all began. That made it very real to me. I was scared and didn't want my mom to find out. I had lots of decisions to make. I also realized that I didn't have much time, as I was already a good 8 months pregnant.
My first contact with Stevie came from a phone call from the dean of students at her college. He called with Stevie on speakerphone and asked if I could just explain to her what might happen if she came into the center, because Stevie thought she just might be pregnant.
Heart Choices helped me get an appointment with a doctor and gave me a bag with some great information. I continued to go back to Heart Choices, and they helped me understand my option of keeping the baby or making an adoption plan.
As Stevie came to the realization that she was, in fact, pregnant, she said that she did not feel she would be able to parent this child and wanted to know more about adoption. I explained to her that we were not an adoption agency, nor did we arrange for adoptions. However, I was able to give her information about the adoption process and give her the list of some adoption agencies that she could contact.
I thought I knew what I wanted. A good religious, but not overbearing family. This would be their first and only child. I wanted this baby loved unconditionally. No sibling fights, and I wanted God's love and life invoked. Boy, did He give me a wonderful family. And nothing like I thought I wanted. After I found them, I emailed them and we met up on the last weekend of September. What a great time. God had everything planned. I loved them before I met them, and they were family when I did meet them. The night before they were going to head home, we had our last visit, so we thought. I went into labor that night, and at 8:10 the next morning, our little girl was born. After we left the hospital, we took her to Heart Choices to work on the adoption paper. I wasn't sure I could go through with it. I just loved her so much. We talked and cried, and I knew she was mine, but meant for them. My baby went with them that night.
The truth is, Stevie made the most difficult, yet the most courageous decision that she could ever make. She chose to put her baby's need above her own. She chose to place her child in a loving, stable Christian family and give her a future that at that time Stevie could not.
I am so glad I found out about Heart Choices. They really made a difference for me and my baby. They prepared me for what was ahead, even like going to the doctor, and gave me information and connected me with people to help me make my decisions. Things changed a lot for me during this time. I matured. It changed how I thought of life and what I needed to start thinking about.
I'm thankful that Heart Choices was there for Stephen the day that she needed us. And I'm thankful for the
I've gone through several different emotions and phases throughout this experience. Now I have my own family and all of my children know one another. She is their sister. I'm so glad God let my little Kiana be with the Kleins because they have always been open and she'll always know who I am. In a way, I did keep her.
I know that your church has been touched greatly by adoption. This is also National Adoption Month. This is not the ending to every story. Sometimes they do go ahead and plan to parent, and that's great. We want to be there to support them, to give them that information that they need. But we know that they need someone to support them, to encourage them, and to accept them, just like Jesus did with the Samaritan woman. One day, there was a gal that came into our center, not as a client, but she came in to donate some diapers. And we began to talk. I was glad to meet this young lady. Her name was Megan. And Megan shared that her story of adoption with little Joelle that was running around in the room there. And as we talked, I began to share with her a need that we had for filling the position of Director of Student and Youth Programs at Heart Choices. We have been blessed to be able to have that part of the ministry to go into our schools. And I would like to invite Megan Nolf, who is no stranger to your church and to your congregation, to share some about her, what she is doing.
Okay. Microphones used to just have a little. Yep. Okay. So I'm no stranger to Concordia Wesleyan, although I am typically in the second service and not the first, so some of you might not recognize me, but I'm sure a lot of you do. Yes, I was saying before, I'm going to try not to get emotional during the adoption story, Stevie's story, because it does hit so close to home. And the way God brought me to Heart Choices was just pretty crazy in the sense I was donating diapers and literally just sharing my story and wanting to share that, we have an open adoption, and if anybody ever wanted to talk about what an open adoption looks like, we'd be more than happy to share our story. And then here I am 2 years later, A little more, maybe. But I'm the director of student and youth programs, and my role essentially at this center is what can we do to empower youth to really avoid needing to come into a crisis pregnancy center in crisis. You know, we do offer lots of parenting courses and such, and so it's a place, not everybody is in crisis that walks through the doors, but what can we do to keep a teenager from walking through those doors being terrified of what news they're going to hear? And so, excuse me, my role for the student and youth programs is I do a lot of the scheduling for Doug Twaddell. He is our speaker for our program called The Seven Myths to Sexuality. He goes into the schools all over the North Central Kansas area here, and he delivers a presentation which is called The Seven Myths to Sexuality to seventh graders through ninth graders. And so during that program, he reaches all of the students with a message of sexual risk avoidance, is what we call it now, versus abstinence. Sexual risk avoidance is what it is called. So anyway, he does the speaking and reaching out, and at the end of the presentation, he also reaches them with commitment cards and speaks to them about the importance of the sexual risk avoidance, and the students at that time can choose whether or not they would like to commit to that. I also do a once a month Bible study at the Beloit office called Secret Keeper Girls. Some of you may be familiar with Dana Gresh, who is a pretty famous author. And she really just focuses in on teaching these young girls, the tween girls. It's kind of a newer term. Some of you may not have heard, because I know I hadn't heard it, and I'm not old, but I'm certainly not young anymore. I'm learning. But anyway, so from the age of like 7 to 12, those are called tween girls. And so basically, it's just investing in these girls and their moms and teaching them value in themselves and just driving home their relationship with the Lord, growing in the Lord, and then growing that communication between mom and daughter. So we are always excited about adding people and growing. So if anybody knows anyone that would like to drive over, right now we're meeting at the Beloit office, but we have had a family from Concordia drive before to come, but it's just the second Tuesday of every month during the evening for an hour and a half that we meet. And if we can click to the next one, I was just going to touch on, during Doug's presentations, when he goes to the classes, the thing that is really, there's a whole list of myths. And if you want to know more about the myths, it would be more appropriate for you to catch me after the service, and I can visit with you about those, because we're not in class right now, and there's all kinds of ears. So basically, physical intimacy, the thing that he wants the children to know, the teenagers to know, is that the physical intimacy, most of the time, all the time, the world tells us that it's nothing more than a physical act, that it's nothing more than really shaking hands with somebody. And it's really disturbing. You know, I keep up with all of the current trends, and I try to learn and soak up as much information that's being fed to our teenagers by media and by society, and it's really disturbing. So the point that he tries to drive home is this little whole person right here, excuse me, physical intimacy isn't just physical, it's also social, intellectual, spiritual, and emotional. So this isn't just shaking someone's hand and moving on with things like teenagers might think. And it's so important to drive this home, because I think that when our kids are watching MTV or VH1 or just even the regular shows, sometimes I'm just like, oh my word. I'll watch shows that I watched from my childhood and be like, oh my word, like, what did they just say? And so we have the world trying to trash physical intimacy, and it's not God's plan. And we go into these schools and we share this message, and this message is shared as a sexual risk avoidance message, but it's God's plan that's being shared. He's not able to come out and say, guys, this is God's plan for your life, but he's able to go and he's able to share God's plan in a way that's accepted into the schools. And so it's a super important program, and we are excited about it. We try to get in. We just were able to get into a new school here a couple weeks ago, so it's always really exciting. And just one more thing to add, we are always looking for exciting events that we could possibly bring in. One being that we've been working on for a while now and is still in the works would be Fight the New Drug. And I don't know if most of you have heard of them or not, but it addresses the health crisis of pornography. And it addresses it from a scientific point of view, where we have these children that are being bombarded with images, having access to the internet, stuff that is popping up, and from children on into, you know, the adult years, and just that society is bombarding us from every angle, from ads to just the easy access of smartphones. But it talks about the scientific reasons pornography is the new drug. And many states, including Kansas, are deeming it a health crisis. And so we are in the works of getting a special event for them to come and present. But that's really just a feel of what my role is. I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes person. I'm in the office sometimes helping with things, doing fundraisers. It's just been a huge blessing to be a part of Heart Choices and their mission, and I really do believe in what they're doing, and I'm very grateful. And I guess while I have the microphone, I would just add how grateful I am to be a part of Concordia Wesleyan as well. And I just am so blessed by this church, and not only just because of this church, but so blessed because our church is so adoption oriented. And sometimes when you build your family on adoption, you feel pretty isolated. And it's really nice to know there are other families that I can identify with. And so it just is a great feeling. And then now as a foster parent as well, it is a great feeling to have a church that is so hands-on. So I just want to thank you guys for that, too, while I have the mic. But that wasn't part of the presentation. So
okay.
I'm long-winded. I told you so.
That's okay. I'll give this one to you. Now you see how blessed we are to have Megan as a part of our team, as well as other client advocates and mentors that are there to be there. They are our greatest resource. We have many services that we provide, but our greatest resource are people that are willing to invest in those lives. What can you do? First of all, thank you again that you have made us a part of your mission project. Some of you have donated individually, and we appreciate that as well. If you are interested in that, I would be glad to talk to you. But pray for us. We need your prayer. Pray for our clients, for the staff and volunteers, because it is definitely it wears on you. It's a weary work sometimes as you are listening to all of the situations and wondering how you can help. And pray for our board of directors. And of course, your own Bob Burns serves on our board of directors, and we are happy to have him represent your church in this area. Please, ways that you can give. We need to replenish those physical goods, those physical needs, in that water in the well. And so we're always in need of diapers and wipes, and then, of course, office supplies that helps on our budget. And then volunteering, of course. We are needing some volunteers in the Concordia office especially. We stay very, very busy. We have seen so far, we have had 375 visits in the 2-day-a-week schedule this year. And we need people that can maybe meet with those clients in a very very easy to learn and friendly basis. We need people who can provide that education. We need people who can meet them as they come into the door and maybe make appointments and that type of thing. And then helping with fundraising events, because keeping the budget funded is always a need. And so we appreciate anyone who can help with those types of issues. And then, of course, the one-time gift or monthly partner or just however God leads you. We thank you so much for the way you've supported in the past, and we look forward to what God is doing through that partnership in the future. Thank you so much.
Do want to make mention that there was an insert in your bulletin that talks about Heart Choices, and if you look at the back page of that, you can partner with them, and some of those ways in which to volunteer are there on that last paragraph there. Megan and Alice will be out in the church lobby. You can ask them questions. You can get the more information on the seven myths of sexuality. And as I looked at and saw your presentation in the background of John chapter 4. You know, if you go into John chapter 3, that's the story of Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. And because Jesus was willing to meet with who I call the best sinner in the Bible, because he was the religious man, you know, and he was doing everything according to the book, and yet something was lacking with him. And because Jesus was available at a place to meet with him, we have, for God so loved the world that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have the spiritual truth that you must be born again, and religion will not get you to heaven. Being good won't get you there. Then as you go into the next chapter, you read what some would call one of the worst sinners in the Bible, woman who had had 5 failed relationships and was now in a relationship living with a man that was not her husband. And Jesus was willing to meet with her. And because Jesus was willing to meet with her, we have the truths that Jesus himself is the living water. We have the truth that Jesus said that the day is coming and now is when the true worshipers of God will worship him in spirit and truth. For this is the kind of worshipers that the Father is seeking. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so let's take this into faith promise where Jesus was meeting him. Do you know why Jesus was alone that day at the well? He had taken his disciples, and verse 4 said he had to go through Samaria. Now, a lot of Jews would skip around the territory of Samaria, but this was a divine appointment. And Jesus sent his disciples in to meet his physical need. He was hungry. He had a need. You know what? You and I all have needs. We have things to buy. We have grandkids. We have our own kids. We have things we want to have. We want to change our vehicles and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, after Jesus met with that woman, said, I'm the living water, and if you knew the gift of God, you would know. And Jesus actually revealed to her that he was the Messiah. That's another truth that came out of that. The disciples came back with a good lunch. And you know what Jesus told them? I don't need to eat anymore. I'm not even hungry anymore. That need that I sent you in for was fulfilled by my Father in heaven. So here's what faith promise says. God, you've given us a certain amount of resources to have, and you give us the ability to choose however we want to use them. And we choose to invest in the kingdom because we believe that we have a God that will supply all of our needs according to the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. So invite you with me to ask God, what would I give to my local body of believers for the expansion of God's kingdom in North Central Kansas and behind? And what a great ministry to partner with to ignite hope for families, huh? you know. And it is indeed a partnership. I mean, some of the smart money brochures were taken over, and you're handing that out. And I'm sure that they will give to some of their clients about Financial Peace University and things that we're going to do, because anything we can do to partner with them, we want to be able to do. So let's pray.